This podcast is brought to you by Cedar HR Solutions. Support our sponsors, Time Clockit and YourHIPAAtraining.com. Visit them on the web.
Hello, Doctor. Welcome to today's podcast. We're going to discuss maternity leave and several variations of how some scenarios may play out in your office. This is really about a policy in your employee handbook, understanding it, having the right one in place. My name is Paul Edwards. I'm a co-founder here at Cedar HR Solutions, and I am joined by Grace Godlaski today. Grace is one of our experts in the Solution Center. Our Solution Center experts are there to help our members when they have an issue. Not only do they have a great policy in place, but as you know, not every office is the same, not every circumstance is the same, and so Grace is one of those people who can help our members out and kind of navigate the waters. And Grace, welcome.
Thank you.
So, Doctor, I want to start with just a scenario question. I'm paraphrasing. It's a question that we get oftentimes. The other day, I got a call or I got notice from one of my employees. She's pregnant. She wants to take leave, and I don't know what to do. I mean, it's pretty open. It's pretty open-ended. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And in this case, it's as the call's first coming in, they possibly don't have a good maternity leave policy in place yet because they're not working with us, or they have one in place and they don't understand it, or you know, it can be any variation of that. So Grace, I always say to doctors, when you don't have a rule in place, then there's a default rule that gets made up by the situation or by the employee, correct? Mm-hmm.
That's correct. We call it precedent, but every action that you take with current or former employees sets the tone for what you're going to be doing going forward, because what your legal obligation is to not discriminate against, you know, one employee for any particular reason. Most notably, most states require that maternity leave be treated the same as other leaves. So even if you're not thinking about prior people who have been pregnant, thinking about prior people who have gone out for any medical issue, and you want to make sure you're treating people the same way.
And I think another variation that we see is the person who's asking for the pregnancy leave may be indifferent. Well, you as the doctor may be thinking about your employees differently. Some are your favorites, some are not. Some are in good graces, some have been performing well. Frankly, person walks in and says, hey, I'm pregnant. You're like, oh, great. What, you know, and off you go. Another person walks in and says, hey, I'm pregnant. You're thinking, wow, we've already been having trouble. I've been putting this off, and now I'm going to have to make accommodations for this. Regardless, your answer, your reaction should always be, this is great. and I know it's not easy on small businesses when people take time away from work. But we work in an industry with an industry where women run the offices, they're in the offices, they make up a majority of the workforce, and they do need to take time off. One other thing that I want to make clear here, and this is where a lot of the problems come in, is that many states do not require that you have some kind of a policy that addresses this. But again, it goes back to what Grace and I said in the first place, which is you end up with a default policy around each situation. So it's best to, in our opinion, to establish something that fits. And then the next thing is once you do make up a rule, those states that might have said, hey, you don't have to, you're not required as an employer to do this. Once you do make up the rule, here are some rules that you have to follow. So they'll address the rule in and of itself if you enforce it. So Grace, let's start with help. I've got this employee. I don't think I have a policy in place. I don't know what to do.
Okay. So, you know, if you don't have a leave policy in place, the first thing I would be asking you as an advisor is, has this come up before? What precedent do you have? You know, the second thing I would want to know is, what's the employee asking for? Nail that down as soon as possible. You know, you can ask for advance notice of a leave. We have forms that we like the employees to use. But a lot of the times people get the notice that the person is pregnant. They never nail down exactly what the employee wants. The employee leaves, and now you're kind of left in a lurch. And so saying, you know, what are your plans? When do you plan to go out?
Right.
What do you need right now? And opening that conversation to really determine what they're asking for and what they need can help you as the employer determine what you're obligated to do or not obligated to do.
So their understanding of what it is that's available to them, which again, I'm going to flog that. It's back to that policy.
Correct.
So if you've set something, what would you say in our members is a typical what the doctors choose when they can choose? Some states they don't get to choose, but
right.
many states they do.
Some state, depending on your size or state, you might not have a choice. But if you do have a choice, I think for smaller practices, industry standard tends to be about 6 weeks.
About 6 weeks. And I think it's important to note that that works for both sides typically because the mom really wants to come back to work because this is unpaid time.
Correct.
We're not required by federal or state statute to pay anybody maternity leave.
That is correct. And that's a common misconception, I think, where people, I'm paying for this 6 weeks. It is unpaid. Yeah. It's unpaid time. You know, if they have accrued or unused vacation, they can apply it, use it concurrently, but it is unpaid time.
And the time that someone takes for maternity leave, let's just say that maybe there's some complications leading up to. So we thought this employee was probably going to take off in about 2 months. That was when that she would need to take her 6 weeks. But let's say she has a couple of issues related to the pregnancy, and she has to take off earlier than that. Now, I mean intermittently. In other words, I've got doctors recommended 3 days of bed rest, and he says I can return to work.
Right. You would want to protect yourself and your practice in that scenario. We would probably recommend, you know, granting the leave if the employee needs it and informing them about how you're handling it. Are they drawing from unused sick time or is this going to be intermittent leave under available leave?
Right.
So if they had 6 weeks, now they have 5 weeks and 4 days.
Right.
Or 5 weeks and three
whatever.
Days.
Yeah, whatever.
And then before the person comes back, if you know they've been having issues, you know that they've, you know, been required by their doctor to go on bed rest, before you have them come back, you might want to require a fitness for duty that just says they are safe to return to work. And depending on, you know, what their situation is, if they have any limitations.
Right. So really, you always want to ask for just a note from the doctor. Mm-hmm. And you, there's, a form you can give them, which just says fitness for duty. Now, I want to differentiate that from when you find out that someone's pregnant or they find out that they're pregnant, that you have something in your policy that says, hey, as soon as you find out you're pregnant, you got to go out to your doctor and get a note from him that says it's okay for you to work here. Grace,
that's
what's the problem?
Such a great point, and
seems
it's
smart.
It's a great example of kind of no good deed goes unpunished. I think I talk to a lot of people who have this in their mind as thinking they're doing the right thing or they're doing their employees a favor by trying to make sure that they're okay. taken care of.
Yep.
But in the eyes of the law, you can't treat them differently than any other employee based on this
temporary disability.
Exactly. Yeah. Unless you know or have reason to know that they're struggling or that they've asked for something in some way. Typically saying, just because I know you're pregnant, you need to go do this, and I wouldn't require this of any of my other employees. It's viewed in the eyes of the law as sort of paternalistic or gender discrimination, and it's looked badly upon.
Yeah, and the EEOC specifically states that they do not want to see that
correct.
In a policy because it's basically discriminatory. Now, contrast that, even though it's not unrelated. Look, if you're a firefighter or you're a police officer and you report some kind of disability, you may, under those circumstances, be asked to go out and immediately get a fitness for duty because it's in the public interest. So there are certain circumstances, but that does not apply to the industries that we work with medical and dental and so forth. One other thing that I want to cover several other things, but one of the other things I wanted to get into, Grace, is when you set that policy, here's the other thing that we run into is, I don't know how long she's going to take off. She didn't say. We didn't have a policy. We didn't get into it. So I don't know if it's 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in the position to make that decision for them after they walked out the door and just all of a sudden send them a note and say, hey, be back here in 2 weeks or whatever that is.
Right.
Yeah.
Nailing that down before they leave is ideal. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, you know, if you're out there and you're in a situation where you haven't done that, what you need to know is you're not required to grant an indefinite leave. You know, that's not an obligation.
Right.
But if you haven't established those clear limits, you want to establish a reasonable endpoint.
Right.
Keeping in mind, again, those concepts of, you know, any precedent that you have previously.
Right.
But informing the employee, hey, you know, you've been gone for 2 weeks. We've granted 8 weeks to someone like this in the past. We're extending that same courtesy to you. Therefore, we expect your return date will be this day.
Right.
That's one way to handle it if there aren't other risk factors present. But definitely calling the employee and saying we need you back next week after they've been gone
for 5 weeks or 4 weeks
is not, yeah, is not the best approach.
So if you've communicated in advance, it's 6 weeks out. The next thing that you can do, doctor, is you can tell them at 4 weeks, you're required to let us know of your intent to return at the 6 week mark.
Mm.
Now, could that be a little soft? Obviously, you know, you don't have to set it, you know, on the 23rd on Wednesday, you better be back in here, but on or about the 23rd, mm-hmm. they restart. So that's another trigger for you, because a lot of moms go out and they're like, I'm not sure mm-hmm. what I want to do. My husband and I are still talking about this. And they may even take the time during the maternity leave to feel what it feels like to not have her income coming in,
yeah.
to get an understanding. Things may change during that time. And so moms aren't always sure that they want to return to work. So at the four-week mark, we generally want to make sure that you contact me and let them know, hey, we're at that point. It's part of the policy. Would you please let us know if you want to come back or not? Again, everybody knows. Everybody knows what to expect. And by doing this, there's really no upsets.
Right. Removes that's exactly them. Right. It's
they
that clear communication. You know, getting that timeline checking in mm-hmm. is really great. And a couple of other things that are in that vein of clear communication mm-hmm. that we haven't yet touched on are making it clear that they're still your employee. You know, they're still your employee during
can't
this time.
While this
they're,
is going on.
You know, well, that and, you know, in the administration of benefits, right. making it clear what they still have access to, mm-hmm. what they may or
don't.
May not have access to, and then making your reinstatement obligations clear to them.
Right.
You know, reinstatement is one of the trickier things, I think, especially for smaller practices. You know, if you're doing a job protected leave, you are required to put them back in a position of similar status
yep.
and pay, and informing them of how long you're keeping that open
mm-hmm.
and at what point you cannot keep that open
right.
anymore. Those are other ways to clearly communicate so there aren't any upsets, like you said, Paul.
And that leads me into extension, which just came up about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The extension, which is to say, look, I've had my 6 weeks, but now I have a medical issue. I have a medical need. I need another 30 days. Maybe the baby, they're breastfeeding and the baby's not taking well to it, or they've got some other health issue,
right.
either caring for the child or for caring for themselves, and they ask for an extension. Typically, the answer now, according to you know, most of the disability acts and the EEOC out there, is yes, 30 days extensions are normal and you need to accommodate that.
That's right. Under the ADA and other sources, the extension of leave can be viewed as a reasonable accommodation
right.
for those types of medical issues.
Right.
And so typically what I've told people is, you know, they should be requesting this extension with doctor's note in hand. Either
right.
I had an unexpected C-section or
mm-hmm.
I had an infection or some other
mm-hmm.
Reason. Of course, they don't have to disclose everything, but it's not, well, I don't feel like it right now coming back.
Right.
But you want to be really careful if you are thinking about denying an extension that you know that this is...
Yeah, you really want to weigh
you,
that.
You want
very,
to weigh
very
it carefully.
Carefully because yeah. believe it or not, it's... I mean, I've always come up with what I thought were good ideas for extensions for this kind of thing. And if you look it up, you can find the various EEOC rulings saying, nope, that's not a reasonable.
Right.
That's not a reasonable case for you to make. You could have made that extension. You could have hired that temporary person for another 30
for another
days.
Couple of weeks. Exactly.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
would be a very hard case for you to make the why you couldn't extend the extra time. And similarly, considering requests for part-time or light duty
mm-hmm.
Can also be that reasonable accommodation for the
medical. For a
period
of time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if it was a full-time position, they want to return to part-time, you're in a better position,
right?
Especially if you have all this stuff laid out in advance.
Oh, that's a good point for clarification.
Yeah.
You know, definitely different of I need to be part-time for a week or two because of a medical issue
right.
versus I'd like to be part-time indefinitely. Different conversation.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
a completely different
yeah.
conversation
yeah.
and an accommodation that you probably are not going to have to make.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
there's a way to have that discussion with the employee.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what else we can cover here, Grace. What else can we let the doctors know out there?
The only I know that this is probably these discussions often seem to be not as employer friendly. Yeah. So I just wanted to briefly touch on, you know, what measure of control do you still have?
Right.
You know, it sounds like maybe you have to bend over backwards, and of course, you know, you want to stay within your mm-hmm. legal obligations here. Employees on leave have no greater right to employment than if they had been continuously at work. So if you had Friday hours and now you've cut back your Friday hours, nobody works Fridays anymore. And the person that who's applies. Out on leave, exactly. They don't need to be, you know, you don't have to open your doors on Fridays just to accommodate them. Similarly, you know, duties, if you do across the board change in duties, or you do across the board pay cuts, you know, that would still apply to the person on right. leave. But you can't, you know, single that person out, or if it's just two people, you want to probably make sure the person on leave isn't included in that category. But across the board decisions still apply to that person as well.
Okay, good. So that is really helpful for larger practices. Mm-hmm. And a cautionary tale for smaller practices, because, you know, when we say across departments, we may be talking about a department of one.
That's very true.
Which is this person who's out on maternity leave.
Yeah, that's yeah. very, very true. So just knowing that you do, you know, have some level of control there, mm-hmm. but it's still, it's treacherous waters that you want to be careful. You're weighing each decision, both in how it would look from a third party perspective, uh-huh. you know, from the plaintiff's attorney's perspective,
right.
and also, you know, weighing the precedent that you're setting if you don't yet have a leave policy in place.
So our guidance is leave policy. Get a leave policy in place. If your state has specific rules, make sure it complies with those specific rules. California is an example. Grace, can you think of a couple other right off the top of your head? You don't have to. I didn't ask you for
no,
that.
No, I can think of a couple city ordinances uh-huh. that require.
Okay.
There's
probably about if you're at 10 or 15 out there.
Yeah, there are. And if you're at 50 employees, we didn't get into FMLA.
No, we did not.
But if you're at 50 or more, you're going to have an extensive leave policy that looks MLA does apply to you at your size.
By the way, Grace, before we wrap this mm-hmm. up, what if you're less than 50 employees, you borrowed your handbook and you have FMLA language in it?
Yeah, so if something's promised, and this is a great general rule, you've got to grant it. And so mm-hmm. if you've established an FMLA-like policy in your book, mm-hmm. even if it was accidental, you've got to honor that.
Okay.
And especially if, you know, if you accidentally granted somebody an FMLA-like leave, even without the leave language, you know, you would want to make sure that you're treating other people equally going forward.
Yeah, and then make your changes. If you
want to establish something new.
Not with that employee.
Do it in the, yeah, exactly. Do it going forward.
Yeah.
Such a good point. And, you know, the importance of having the policy is really you as the employer want to show that you're making fair and objective decisions. And if you have either nothing written or something that's really wishy-washy, like a lot of the ones we see that come through the doors, will be granted on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah.
You have stripped yourself of the argument that you're making objective, unbiased decisions when your policy literally says you're going to make it on a case-by-case basis.
Right.
And that's, I think that takes a logical jump to get there mm-hmm. for some people because they feel like they like the case-by-case basis. It gives you a lot of control.
Gives you power.
Exactly.
You're actually giving away your power.
But you've robbed yourself of that argument, and that argument is the argument that protects you from those discrimination claims.
Yep.
And so you really want that objective, measurable standard, that yardstick.
Mm-hmm.
And if you either don't have any yardstick or if your yardstick looks more like a piece of yarn that you can ball up and mm-hmm. you know, push this way for this person and this way for this person, it's not going to help you.
It also helps you draw that line in the sand for your small business. When you either need that person back in or you're going to have to make different decisions. It kind of gets you in that place.
So true.
Okay. So I hope this has been helpful, Doc. We've kind of run the gamut on maternity leave, particularly towards small practices. Grace, thank you. That was very, very helpful.
Thank you.
And if you guys have any questions, you know you can send them to us at info@cedarsolutions.com. That's CEDR solutions with an S.com.
Today's podcast was sponsored by YourHIPAAtraining.com, a cloud-based, on-demand HIPAA training and compliance system for your employees and your office. visit yourhipaatraining.com.